in the 50s, early 50s, and I wanted to do something, and I had an idea. I had some play money. I don't know if you remember the old days of play money. That's what we got in our pockets now is play money. But I had some play money, and I went and got the play money, and I prayed, and I said, God, I want to help the missionary. I want you to turn this into real money. And I put it on the counter, and I prayed over it. In my little old heart, I just wanted to see God supply. I wasn't interested. I really wasn't. I wasn't interested in the money for me. I wanted to help the missionary. So I went to bed, and I got up during the night. I got up during the night, and I snuck in there, and it was still play money. And I would go back to bed, and Jesus, I just know you're going to turn this into real money. And I went back and looked, and it wasn't. And I didn't get much sleep that night, journeying back and forth from my bedroom to the kitchen to check and see if God had worked the miracle. How many of you know when morning came, it was still play money? I struggled with that as a young guy. And later on in life, I came upon some teachings, and they seemed to reinforce my belief that I should have seen that money. God, I believed God, and God should have turned that money into real money, or gold, or silver, or precious jewels, or something. But it didn't work. How many of you have had an experience like that as an adult, where you believed for something, and it didn't happen? Come on, be honest. We have a young man that's here this morning. People camped out in his front room praying for his mother to be healed. And we buried her. There was still belief in her husband's heart that God was going to raise her from the dead. That God could do that, and that He would. We're still waiting on that resurrection, and it will come one day. And everybody said, I don't think there's a problem with the supplier. In our text, the Bible says, He supplies the Spirit, He supplies miracles. The word for miracles in that text is acts of power. Acts or works of power. Dunamis is the word. It's the word that is translated in Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. There's no problem with the supplier. He supplies. Look at the text again. He supplies the Spirit, and He supplies or works. Who does the miracles? Who supplies the Spirit? God does. On the day of Pentecost, as they were all there in that place waiting for the promise to be fulfilled, that day in that place was filled with the sound of a rushing mighty wind. And the place where they were suddenly became illuminated by cloven tongues of fire that sat on each of them, and they were all filled with the Spirit. All of them. Not just one of them. All of them were filled with the Spirit and began to speak with languages they had not learned. But miraculously, God by His providence and by His power enabled them to do what they in and of themselves could not do. Say this out loud with me. There is no problem with the supplier. Everybody that was in that place was filled with the Spirit. Everyone. It wasn't like God said, I got enough for 10. I got enough for 12. I got enough for 5. I got enough for 15. 120 people were filled with the Spirit. And out of that room, the sound went forth. And before the day was over, 3,000 people came to faith in Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit operating in evangelism and declaring to these people the wonderful works of God in languages that they understood. There's no problem with the supplier. He's the one that works miracles. When Paul went to Philippi, and he's there on the street, and this young lady's following them around. And she says, these are the servants of the Most High God who come to show us the way of salvation. And the Bible says that Paul was troubled in his spirit and walked around like this for several days until the Spirit of God gave him understanding of what was going on and what he needed to do. And that day when she said, these are the servants of the Most High God who come to show us the way of salvation, Paul turned around and cast the demon out of that young lady. Well, That was the power of God at work. It didn't stop there, because later on when they're thrown in jail because she couldn't do her work anymore, she couldn't tell people stuff about them that she couldn't know without the demon. In jail with their backs bleeding, God shakes the jail and out pop. That almost sounds like a poem. Out pop Peter and Paul. Out pop Paul and Silas, and there they preach to the jailer, who becomes a believer, and they go home, and there's no shortage. God's able to open prison doors. He's able to open blind eyes. He's able to heal the leper. Come on, somebody. He is able. There's no problem with the supplier. I mean, right at the beginning, he said, let there be, and bang, there was. There's no problem with the supplier. He's able. Say it with me. He's able. He's able. And what does he supply? According to our text, he supplies the Spirit. What else does he supply? Acts of power. I don't think it's just miracles here, but the miracle of tongues, the miracle of prophecy, the miracle of the word of wisdom, the miracle of the word of knowledge. In other words, he takes us beyond what we're capable of doing, and he works through us and accomplishes things that transcend our abilities. God is marvelous in his works and his ways. Whether it's in the preaching of the gospel and 3,000 people get saved. We'd be in trouble if 3,000 people got saved. But what a wonderful problem that would be. You say, what would we do? We'd start meeting in houses immediately. And some of you would wind up leading house meetings immediately. And where would you get the know-how and the ability to do that? The one who supplies. He supplies the Spirit. How many know it's the Spirit that's the teacher? How many know it's the Spirit that works the miracles? It's not the clergy, it's the Spirit. It's not the person, it's the Spirit. When Paul and Silas were looked on as though they were some kind of little gods, they said, don't look at us. We're just like you all. What has happened here is a result of God's supply. God's supply. And I think we ministers, any of us, we're all ministers. We need to recognize and remember, when God does something marvelous, it's not about us. Amen. That's a great way to lose, is to somehow think that you did it, and then God will back off and let you have it. And then you can't do it, because he's the supplier. Say it with me, he's the supplier. He's the one that does this. You know, there's some folks who just don't want the Spirit of God in their church. There's some folks who say, we're embarrassed by what he does. How many of you know it's no reason to be embarrassed by what the Spirit of God does? What he does is always decent. It's always orderly. We get messed up, but he doesn't. We may abuse it, but he doesn't. So the supply is there. And it comes from God. My problem, and here's the message this morning. How many are you with me so far? The Spirit of God supplies. It's not like he's got just a few little things back here. He's got this bountiful supply. It's not like, well, I can bless the church over there at Point, but I can't bless the church in town. He's got enough to go around. I can bless Jan and Jay, but I think Lewis and Annette are just going to have to wait until I build up my reserves. How many of you know he has more to give than you have capacity to receive? He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above, beyond all we can ever ask or think. Boy, and I can ask pretty big. I can ask pretty big. I can ask pretty big. But then there's that problem we talked about a while ago. Some of us have asked, and it seemed in that moment, God's storehouse was empty of what we needed. He hadn't worked up a batch of that yet. And so we were waiting for him to work up a batch of healing, or we were waiting for him to work up a batch of finances or whatever. And it never came. The question this passage has presented to me and answered for me, because it's not just a wonderful idea of the prophetic, where God speaks through his people to his people to encourage them, to edify them, and to exhort them. God's Spirit giving information to people that they couldn't know otherwise. Revelations that God touches and ministers through someone and brings healing to someone. But it doesn't seem to happen on cue, does it? We don't seem to have the control, do we? Oh, I know some years ago there were people who were teaching that somehow you could make God do what you wanted him to do. If you could believe it, you could receive it. If you could just say it, you could have it. You just had to hang in there. And when your faith reached this kind of when you amassed enough, and God, like the righteous judge, would pull out his final hair and say, he keeps pestering him, I'll give him what he wants. And bang, there it was. Didn't work. Say it with me, it didn't work. So, you know, this message has been a long time in coming, and it took us a long time, some of us, to get to where we're able to hear what I'm about to say this morning. So the issue is not the supplier. The issue is not what to supply. What about the supplied? Say us-ins, we-ins, me-ins, me. How does this work from God's, and I hate to use that term because it almost sounds like I'm going to promote a formula, and that's not what I want to do. But how does, for lack of a better term, how does this function from a Godward perspective and from a manward perspective? It says, he supplies the Spirit. It says, he works miracles. As a matter of fact, it says, among you. That word among could be translated through. He uses you to do his work. And he's the one that does it. He supplies. So it's kind of like Gideon. God says, I'm with you. And he says, if you're with us, then where are all the miracles? Where are the healings? We pray for people to get healed and we get sick. What's the issue? Where's the breakdown? Well, it's not on the Godward side, is it? I mean, God's getting old, and so maybe his power has diminished some. No, he's like wine. He gets better. He's always had the same amount of power he's got now. There's been no diminishing of his power, no increase. He is God. There is no shortage when it comes to his ability to supply. You know something? He could still feed somebody with a raven. He could still enable someone to walk on water. How many of you know he could still open blind eyes? He can still heal gallbladder problems. He can still take care of family problems and financial problems. How many of you know there's no shortage? He's still God. He's the same yesterday. He'll be the same tomorrow. And when I'm dead and gone, he'll still be around. He'll still be the same. That's exciting. Somebody say, he's the same. He's God. So where is the problem then? The problem is not on the Godward side. The problem, I know what it is. It's somewhere in the middle. It's in the pipeline here. There's all those demons that stop that from happening. The power of the air. Say this out loud with me. God's bigger than the devil and all of his legions. I mean, all God's got to do is just go, boop. God doesn't get in a strain or a bind. He doesn't wake up in the morning because he never sleeps. But he doesn't go, whoops, look at there. We're going to try to do this down to Point Assembly. All them demons are going to keep us from happening. Say, dumb, dumb, dumb. Go ahead, it's okay. Dumb, dumb, dumb. God sent one little skinny angel and took care of 180,000 troops or something like that. There's no shortage with God. So look at the supplied, and here's the message. He who supplies the Spirit and works miracles through you, among you, in you, by you, with you. Does he do it by works of the law? Torah observance? What's the answer? That's an interesting phrase. Hearing of faith. What does that mean? In times past, the issue of faith has been hot on the burner. There are those who told me and told you, and they're still saying, that if you can believe it, you can receive it. And so Mr. Jones, who has diabetes, says, God, you're going to heal me. I'm believing you're going to heal me, and I will not accept diabetes. I will not let it have place in my body. I'm going to believe you. I'm believing you for healing. And if that's the case, he thinks, Well, then, for me to keep taking the insulin is unbelief. If I'm looking to God to heal me, then I don't need to look to the medicine. So he quits taking his insulin, and guess what happens? He goes blind because of the diabetes. He was believing God. What happened? I'm not making light of faith. Hear what I'm saying. He was believing God. What happened? We were praying for that precious lady. Let me tell you, there were people who were believing. And she died. I did the funeral. We had the funeral in this very building. And there were people whose faith was destroyed, whose faith was diminished and demolished. We believed. We did what they said. I know I believed. There were people camping out and praying and fasting, believing. And it didn't come through. Look what this text says. The hearing of faith. What will it take? What will it take to experience the supply that God has according to this text? Watch this. The NRS says, New Revised Standard says, by believing what you heard. The NIV says, because you believe what you heard. The New Living Translation says, because you believe the message you heard. So the hearing of faith is dependent upon what God says. Hearing. If we're going to have a connection with the supply, then we need a hearing heart. Look at somebody next to you and ask them, do you have a hearing heart? A hearing heart. A hearing heart. Stay with me. Don't tune me out. Don't say, I'm not listening to this. This is a bunch of unbelief. We're putting light on faith and what it really is, not the game that people have played. You don't come up with an idea existentially and then by faith put that before God and then put pressure on God by faith, because one author said faith is a force. And through confession and constantly standing without being movable, we going to call those things that are not as though they were. Because God called those things that are not as though they were. And so what isn't existing right now, I'm going to believe that God is going to make this a reality in space-time. God does that, but you don't have the capability of doing that. Hear what I'm saying. Don't tune me out yet. I know this is kind of counter a little bit, and some of us have so committed. There's a lady the other day. She would not admit that her husband is sick. They're believing God, and they're confessing healing. He is the healed of God. He's the healed of God. And all the time, you're looking at him and going, if he's healed, it sure looks like he's dying to me. And I don't mean that to be funny, but it's sad. The hearing of faith means that something outside of us is being said and initiates the faith. Faith, Romans 10, 17. How can they believe except someone goes and tells them? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, by the word of Christ. The kind of faith that we're talking about that connects with the supply of God does not initiate. Let me say it this way. Abraham was sleeping in his tent when he came up with this idea. I think I'll take my son, my only son that I love, and I will go to a mountain and I'm going to offer him up. And I'm going to put God on the spot so that God will have to raise him up even if I put him to death. That's not what he did. It wasn't his idea. It was God's idea. God said to him, take now your son, your only son whom you love, and you bring him to a mountain that I'll show you. He didn't even know where he was going. But he gathered up the wood. He gathered the knife. He got the servants. He got the donkey and he got the boy. And he took off in obedience to that word that he was given. I took this week to go through the book of Joshua with a green and blue colored pencil. Don't you just love color in your Bible? That way when you're in church and you open it up to one of those passages that are all colored up, people say, that man reads his Bible. That's impressive. Yeah, I've already been to this text. Yeah, but I don't know what you're going to say about it. And that's why I'm here. I want to learn. But I took that green and that blue pencil, and every place where God spoke, I just colored in green. And then where Joshua would obey or respond, I colored, where he would say something, I colored it blue. You know what's amazing? You check it out. You go try it. The first chapter opens up with, and God said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. And then, you know, he tells him what he's going to do. And then Joshua turns around and he parrots. He plagiarizes God. Can you get that? He plagiarizes God. He takes what God says and then he goes says it to the people, like, God today is going to open the Red Sea. When God says to him, hey, here's what you're going to do. I want you to get the priest, put the ark on their shoulder, let them step into the water. When they step into the water, bang, the water is going to stop flowing down and it's going to dry up and they're going across on dry ground. There's no dialogue. You read it. Moses doesn't go, let the lights blink three times if that's really going to happen. It wasn't Joshua's idea. It was God's idea. Our problem is we come up with things that we want and we don't read James rightly, so we don't hear what he's saying. He says, you have not because you ask not. That's true. But then he says, you have not because you ask to have it so you can satisfy your own desires. Consuming your own lusts is the way the King James says. We don't come to God and tell him, now, this is what you're going to do. You're going to give me a new car. And this is what I want. I want a Jaguar. And I want a red one with a black interior. And I want the garage that it's going to go in. And the house next to the garage is going to have 6 bedrooms and 5 servants paid. And this wonderful, wonderful computer room. And this photography studio that you wouldn't believe. And that's, I'm believing it. I'm confessing it. And I'm receiving it. And we die believing, confessing, and not receiving. They didn't make this up and then believe God for it. They heard a word from the Lord. Come on, somebody. You know what's interesting to me? God didn't repeat what he had already said. In other words, what was written, he told him to get in there and soak his head in what he already had. Let this book of the law, don't let it depart from your thinking. Meditate on it day and night. Don't let it get out of your mouth. You keep saying what this says. You soak yourself in what I've already said. But now I'm going to tell you some things that are not covered in there. And this is an additional revelation. This is direction for you and for this nation. You will tell the priests. And when they step in, and you're going across. There's no argument. He just believes. And how do you know he believes? Book of James. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Now somebody said, but wait a minute, we're not saved by works, we're saved by grace through faith. Yeah, but it's by faith that works. So what are you saying, Lewis? Abraham didn't come up with the idea of putting his son on an altar. Abraham didn't even come up with the idea of having children like the stars of the heavens. He was there belly aching with God and saying, you know something? This servant of mine, he's going to inherit everything I have. Some of you are with me already. You were there before I got there. But hear me. He says, I have this servant Eliezer and he's going to inherit everything I have. And God says, come outside. I want to show you something. Takes him out the tent and he says, count the stars. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 2,700. I can't. You won't be able to count your offspring either. He's got a barren wife and he's an old man. And God is telling your 90-something-year-old wife is going to bear you some children. And the children are going to come out of her womb and your loins are going to be more numerous than you can count. That wasn't Abraham's idea. Come on, say it with me. That was not Abraham's idea. Abraham was bellyaching because he didn't have a child. He would have been thrilled if he could just dream up one. And God takes him way beyond what he would have imagined or thought or could have asked. And so I'm going to give you children that outnumber the stars and outnumber the... In other words, not number-wise, but too numerous to count. Look at somebody next to you and say, boy, I'm glad to sit next to a child of Abraham. Because that's what it says. It says those who are of faith are children of Abraham. Some of you look like I just stole your best toy. I'm not trying to take anything from you. It's like driving down a highway. How many of you, you know, without even thinking, you make corrections to keep it between the lines? A little correction. How many of you looked down a couple of times and you said, oh, we had to make a major correction? That's all we're doing this morning. I'm not saying you don't believe that God can do. What I'm saying is that you don't initiate it. Now hear me, please. Don't say I didn't say what I'm about to say, because I'm going to say it. Pray and ask God, yes. Let your requests be made known to God. But then listen. Listen. Quit talking so loud and so much that you can't hear God. You need a hearing heart. Can I give you an example of a hearing heart real quick? A great one. Remember David? He's on the lamb. And there he is. He's thirsty. And he said, oh, I wish I had some water from the well at Bethlehem. That's where he grew up. I wish I had some of that sweet water from that wonderful well at Bethlehem. A little while later, three guys show up. And guess what they had? Water from the well at Bethlehem. And David goes, I can't drink this. This is too valuable. These guys, this was purchased by the risking of their life. And so he takes it and he pours it out as a drink offering before the Lord. I don't think those guys felt slighted at all. I think they realized how David valued what he had brought to him and gave to him. Because he was saying, this is deserving of God, not me. And he poured it out. But you know, David never asked them to do that. All they heard was a wish. But their hearts were so sensitive and so in tune and so in love with David. They went down there and fought through the Philistine lines, and they got the water and they brought it back to David. That's the kind of hearing I'm talking about. Where God's whisper is like a shout to the heart. Something, I want to do your will. That's what Hebrews says about Jesus. It is written in the volume of the book, I have come to do your... Remember his prayer in the garden? Not my will. Your will be done. And so, I'm going to just gloss over the next... The hearing heart. Everybody hears. Who has believed our report? To whom is the... But not everyone has believed, said Isaiah. That's where the hearing of faith comes in. Because we sit in church Sunday after Sunday and we hear the written word and we never do that. So why should we believe that God would choose us with a prophetic word when we don't give value to His written word? He didn't repeat the Ten Commandments to Joshua. He gave him a directive in that moment that was for that moment. It's obedience that follows this kind of hearing. When I hear and faith hears, when faith hears, the hearing of faith, that's where in a service when God says, I have a word for this congregation and I want you to give it. Instead of going, well, you know, I might make a mistake. You might. Oh, I want you to go pray for that little lady over there by the apples in the store. I want you to just walk up to her and we'll go from there. How's that? Oh, I can't do that. I'm embarrassed myself. Let the lights blink three times. Let one of the apples in the grant those green apples, let one of them roll down. And then bump into a red one that bumps into an orange and let it fall on the floor. And then I'll do it. When faith hears, faith like those guys who went and got water from the well at Bethlehem, it is written in the volume of the book, I've come to do your will, O Lord. If you're operating in a faith that's different than that, how's it doing for you? Have you really been able to control God with your faith? Have you really been able to manipulate God with your words? I would dare say, capital N, capital O, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. He doesn't play those games. And if you're looking for a God you can control, you might want to go join the Wiccans. But if you're looking for a God you can serve, who is a speaking God, who gives direction, and how many of you say, the reason I got in the mess I was in because I was doing what I thought I wanted to do? If you were doing so good, then why did you need Jesus? I needed somebody to back up my will. I needed somebody with some clout to make it happen. This isn't witchcraft. This is called Christianity. This isn't white magic. It's hearing God. And then taking that which is your prized possession, your son, your only son whom you love. And you walk up a hill and you tell your servants, we'll be back. That's faith. He believed that God was able to raise him up. Well, let's go back to one other issue before we close out here. I mentioned that scripture in Romans where it says God speaks of those things that are not as though they were. You know, the only way you can do that is if you hear from God. You don't come up with the idea and then get God to enforce your will. Bottom line, are you ready? Say, I'm ready. I'm ready. I've been ready. I've been waiting, Lewis. Goodness. Ask me if I. That's why I came this morning. Don't seek the gifts. Desire them, yes. Earnestly desire them. Pray and ask God for them. But seek God. Seek the supplier, not the supply. And don't get all in a mord with those he supplies. We put people on pedestals when it by themselves, they're just a dead twig on a tree. But with God, say it with me, with God, all things are possible. All things. I love you guys. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us enough to help us to make corrections in our life that we need to make. And of course, Lord, we can throw this to the side and we can keep trying to do what we want to do and try to believe for that Lamborghini or whatever. Or we can start listening. We can make you the focus of our attention, not the thing we want. We can make you more important than the healing we desire. We bring our petitions to you. We make our requests to you, yes. But help us to learn how to listen with hearts of faith. And it may be that you want to talk about something else and lead us in a way that has nothing to do with that in the moment. Help us to be obedient. Even when it goes against the grain, when it goes against us. We live life the way He's called us to live it. When He says, put your feet in the water, that's what we do. Peter prayed, if it's you, bid me come. He didn't just step out of the boat and believe God would support him. He stepped out on an invitation from Jesus. Come. And you don't see it happening again and again. It happened that one time. Not a precedent. But what is a precedent is that our life lived in responsive faith, that's where the miracles take place. That's where ministry takes place. And we don't just sit around just doing nothing. We listen. We develop relationship. My sheep know my voice. You know his voice. I'm telling you, you know his voice. You heard it when he called you to serve him, when you got saved. It's that unction from within. It's the unction that comes through a Gideon, walking through a jail, distributing Bibles, and the Spirit of God says, I want you to linger. I want you to really talk to this man. And that's the only one you get to talk to. And you leave that place and journey to a place where you sit down and all of a sudden heaven falls on you. This is my beloved son. And what you did today pleased me. The hearing of faith will change your life. Because it's not just about believing for, it's about believing and responding to his moment-by-moment leadership. It comes through the Word, and at times through the unction of the Spirit. Could come through dreams and visions. Old men will dream dreams. I want to be a dreamer. I want to hear your voice, God. So give me a heart that hears. Give me a heart that believes. Give me a heart that obeys. It involves a little bit more than me just saying and claiming. It involves me developing relationship, listening, and obeying. So have your way, Lord. Have your way in me. Right where you are, would you just open your heart to him and say, Lord, be Lord of me. Because what happens is some of us, we just fall asleep over time. We become lethargic. You can't expect to hear from God. God will speak to you. He's doing it right now. He's been doing it for the last few moments. He was doing it yesterday. Give me a heart to hear. Give me a heart to hear. Give me a heart to hear. Sing that.
Lord, I give you my heart.
I give you my soul. House because the microwave just about finished its job. The crock pot just about finished. Before I let you go, if you're here this morning, you've never said yes to Jesus and his wonderful call on your life to share his life, can I encourage you to hear and respond in faith? He really did die for us, and he really was buried, but he rose again. And he ascended and was exalted to the right hand of the majesty on high. If you've never said yes to Jesus, this is your chance to, in faith, say, I receive. Because see, that was the other word we didn't get a chance to cover. He that received the Spirit, he that receives, you do that by faith. He's offering, we accept. And before you leave today, tell somebody, I receive Jesus. His offer this morning, his life, his forgiveness, it's mine. How do you know? Because his promise is good. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord, you can count on it. Before we leave, would you take hands with the person next to you? It may be that they have pain in their body this morning. It may not be a salvation issue. My daughter told me at the Fusion conference, they said, just put your hand on the part of your body that needs healing. She said, I would need to be an octopus. I got so many places that hurt. Would you right there where you are, pray for one another, pray for the person, whatever the need may be. And if you want to share it with them, please do that. Thank you for joining us today. But most of all, thank you for loving Jesus. Thank you for living for him with everything you have. Father, right now, praying for one another, we pray your healing touch on the body that's in pain. We pray your joy for the one who is depressed and discouraged. We pray, Lord, a surge of spiritual life and renewal and revival in the heart that is lethargic, that just kind of has given up. That one this morning who's here today, that they would experience freshness and new hope. Not in the outcome, but in you. In you. In you. A renewed relationship. In Jesus' name.